Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
I'm an Englishman. I'm from Bermondsey, southeast London. My father was called George. He was also from Bermondsey. His father, another Bermondsey man, was called George too. And his father, my great-grandfather, just went the same place. He was called Edward. These three generations of my family were in the fish trade. I'm the first member of my family not to work at the market in Billingsgate. My great-grandfather had 11 brothers and sisters. They all married, except one. They had 43 children. Of these, 37 married. And between them, they had a further 159 children. One of those was my father. I don't know exactly how many of his generation married or exactly how many children they produced. I've so far tracked over 200 of them. Many still live in Bermondsey. Some are still in the fish trade. There are 7 called George and 5 called Victoria. I stand here in front of you as a representative of all of them. And I ask in their name the great question put by our patron, Mr. Powell. What do they know of England who only England know? Or what can my family who come from England, who lived in England, who know only England, say of this, our country? Mr. Powell once spoke of the destruction of ancient Athens and the miraculous survival in the blackened ruins of that city of the sacred olive tree, the symbol of Greece, their country. And he also spoke of us, the English, at the heart of a vanished empire, seeming to find within ourselves, like one of our own oak trees, the sap rising from our ancient roots. And he said, perhaps after all, we, who have inhabited this island fortress for an unbroken 1,000 years, brought up, as he said, within the sound of English birdsong, under the English oak, in the English meadow, beneath the red cross of St. George, it is us who know most of England. And I appreciated him for saying that, because it was as if he spoke for my family, who understand well their own country. who understand even better their own capital, London Town, as we used to call her. As we strolled in her parks, as we marveled at her palaces, as we did business in the city, went west for a dance, took a boat on the river. The pale ale and eel pie of old London. The London of my family for as many generations as I know. The London that within 15 years would be less than 50% white. London where in 15 years a white person will be in the minority. Am I racist? No. Do I have anything against people of other races? No. Would I prevent them from coming into my home? No. So what then is my gripe? My gripe. And I speak on behalf of 7 men called George and 5 women called Victoria. My gripe is quite simple. My gripe is that we were never asked. My gripe is that we were told, not asked. And every day we are told again and again how we are to be and how our country is to be. We're told by them, and we know who they are. They're English too. They're the class that has always set themselves apart. They're the class that has always taken whatever they wanted for themselves. And now they are the class that is giving England away. They have never asked us. And they never will. Do we allow them to sell our heritage? Or is it time for us to speak? To speak. To refuse them the right. To give away our holy, our bountiful, our only England that has nurtured us naked, grown us as the oak. Is it time for us that England know to come yet again and defend our country? With our fire, our fists! Is it time for our sons to rise again? I say yes. I say yes. I say yes!
Yes, and it was answered by the ballot box. In 11 days' time, we will have our Brexit. The bells of England should ring loud and proud that we, the English, the people of our nation, stood up against the adversity with everything that was thrown at us and defend what we stood up for, what we've all stood up for. Yes, we've had to do it with our fists. We've done it through the ballot box. Brexiteers out there, be proud of yourselves, because in 11 days from now, there'll be celebrations across this great nation of ours. And rejoice, because it's so important. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the show, thanks to you, Dave, absolutely awesome, was English Defence League radio show, 19th of January 2020, Creature of the Left. That's the banner. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. And my wingman for this evening is Dave Agador Milner. Tonight, we will be discussing headlines of the week. and recent past with an examination of the Frankenstein monster the left and their death cult allies have made from the alchemy of political correctness. This creature has become angry, strong, and uncontrollable. It not only consumes the very lefties who made it what it is today, but its vice-like hands are grasping the very throat of civilization. Truth is the only weapon that will end its reign of terror forever. Stand with us as we fight the evil. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was, of course, by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And, of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. And without further ado, let me pass it over to my wingman who's in the studio with me tonight. He's been having a few tech issues like I had, and we are both sitting in the studio together tonight. Dave, welcome, brother, and I hope you are well, and good evening to everybody who's listening in the United States and across this great globe of ours. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good evening, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody in the United States. Hello to everybody around the world and, of course, off Earth. Okay, guys, bit of a show note. You may be hearing a bit of a buzz whenever I talk on the show. Now, that is because I've got an issue with electrical interference that is getting into my recording equipment, and it is something that it is going to take me a long amount of time to resolve because it's going to take money, which I don't have. I did attempt, and Jeff, you should know this, to call in to the studio to use my telephone so that I could get rid of the buzz instead of using the normal method that I use, but the call-in number is not working. Now, I would like to address this to Blog Talk Radio. Guys, you charge people a premium to use your service, and along with the wonderful AM radio quality sound that people have to deal with, your biggest strength, you say, is that you have phone lines. Well, today, you don't. This needs to be resolved. And, guys, if this problem continues to be as bad, talking to the listeners now, if this problem continues to be as bad as it is, unless I can call into shows and things of that nature, I may have to go ahead and leave the air until I can get this problem resolved. All right? Jeff, I know that you say I sound okay to you, but when I play the show back...
Yeah, I mean, I can hear the buzz myself, and I know it's, you know, to the great audience out there, it's, it is rather annoying, but, you know, to me...
It is.
I know you've got an issue, and... you know, and it is, I can't believe that the calling number's not working. What the hell's going on there, then?
Well, I can believe it. No, I can believe it. Given Blog Talk Radio's performance over the years, with its paying customers, I can completely believe that their call-in number isn't working. You know, and as I said, or as I'm trying to say here, I always want to bring people quality. And if people listen to the show and they're being annoyed by a buzz that's going on when I talk, folks, I apologize. We try to bring you quality programming and as quality a sound as we possibly can. Trust me, I've done everything. If you can think of something that I could possibly do to resolve this situation, I've done it. There's only one solution left, and it costs a lot of money. So, you know, trust me. That's coming up, and if it can't be done in sufficient time, then as much as I enjoy helping Jeff out with this program, I'm going to have to leave the area for no other reason than for quality and things of that nature. I'll still help Jeff out with show slides and scripts and stuff like that, and things of that nature, obviously, and throw him some story ideas. But guys, if listening to me is more of an irritating experience than it normally is, then yeah, I want you guys here on the show listening to Jeff and getting the truth. I'd rather have that than have me on the show. So, you know, I'm just throwing this out there to you guys before we begin the actual show. Jeff, I really hope you can understand this.
Well, I can, and at the same time, I feel very saddened that the situation has become so grave with you, Dave, yeah. That, you know, this has to be resolved, isn't it? You know, I mean, you're my wingman, and I don't like steering a ship without my wingman, so I hope this is resolved ASAP, because it's, you know... the airwaves won't be the same without you and me, Dave, doing our thing. Without you especially, you know, that's what I'm saying. Hopefully it can be resolved one way or the other. Hopefully, you know, it's not going to, hopefully not too financially hit, if you know what I'm saying, Dave. But anyway, it's... Once again, Dave, thank you for being... I can't hear the buzz at the moment, so I don't know what's happened there, but it's gone rather quiet, unless you muted yourself or something. But it seems it's steadied down. I can't hear nothing at the moment. But anyway, we have got the show to do tonight, haven't we, Dave? So hopefully, yeah, we'll... Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, as I say, Dave is very... He likes to bring you the best, you know the best sound, you know, the stories, and I know what Dave's like. Me and him worked together for so many years now. So with Dave sharing that, that upsets me, because Dave's a dear friend of mine, not just a colleague, but a dear friend, and so the airways would never ever be the same without my friend. I know when Dave would be in the background, but it's not quite the same. You know, when I do my thing, I like to bat and ball with Dave, you know what I mean? And that's how we've always gone about our business here, which we both enjoy doing together. And it is, you know, fighting the good fight. But Dave, it's gone quiet that side. So, what have you done? Have you muted something or something?
Yeah, I have, Jeff. You can probably hear the buzz again now. You know, it's gotten that bad. Yeah, there's the buzz again. But anyway, guys, we're gonna do you a show today, all right? And the thing that really precipitated this was what happened on an episode of the BB show Question Time. That was really the spark for this. And this has been covered a few times in different ways and everything. But it's something that I'm tired of, and it's something that Jeff's tired of. It's something that a lot of people are tired of. And that's the double standard that's being applied to people, the racism that's going on right now in our public forums, the fact that people are being allowed to be racist and call other people racist at the same time, it's annoying as all hell. But guys, if Jeff, you don't mind, I'm going to save that for a little bit later, because I really do want to get done with one thing that we started out the first show we came back this year with, okay? This Delling poll. This Delling poll article from Breitbart, a few things we could happily live without in 2020. All right. I'm going to read a few of these things, and Jeff, get your comments, and then, of course, I'll come back with mine, and I'll be muting myself while you do yours, because people want to hear you and not the buzz, okay? Now, one of the things that this Delling poll columnist says we can do without is Sir Elton John. Now, Sir Elton John recently announced during a show in Vienna, Italy, that he is, quote, you'll love this, Jeff, sick to death of Brexit, end quote, and, quote, ashamed, end quote, of Britain. He added that he is a, quote, European, end quote, and not a, oh yeah, Jeff, you'll really love this, quote, stupid colonial imperialist English idiot, end quote. It's quite possible that not even the lyrical genius of Bernie Taupin could describe what a sad, so sad, and sad situation this is, nor how unhappy we British will be if Sir Elton takes the cruel decision to leave our bigoted island forever and never grace us with his regal presence again. But I guess we'll manage somehow. Jeff, I know you got some things to say about that. Go.
Oh, well. Goodbye, Elton John. You was an arsehole all of your life. Now, that he... I can't believe it. How dare he? How dare he? It's people that like myself many years ago who helped him with future, everything he's done. If it wasn't for the great general public, the English colonialisms, as us, that put him in that position. Elton John, you are just a stuck-up snob. How dare you talk about this great nation like that? And the people that who served you well, who made you very rich. But no, it's all about me, isn't it, Elton? Like it always has been. He's a total drama queen. It's been told many times, Dave. Drama queens, there's drama queens, and there's Elton John. There you go. He throws a tantrum. He gets a little a key wrong. He throws everything out of his pram, Dave. Yeah, goodbye, Elton John. Goodbye, you asshole. We will put it this way. What you've did there, you've made a lot of people very angry with you. So, Sir Elton, stick your sir where the sun don't shine, my old son. Bye-bye. Thank you, though.
Yeah, Jeff, I believe that his real name is, well, of course, people can say who Tommy Robinson's real name is. So his real name is. I believe his real name is Reginald Dwight, unless I'm mistaken. Yeah, so, Reg, listen, I'm not British. I'm not British, but I have to say, first of all, your knighthood. Okay, now over here in the States, we give singing stars and movie stars and whatever's like, artists and people like that in the arts community, we give them the Medal of Freedom. Okay, it doesn't have anything to do with warfare or anything of that nature. But in the UK, you guys give people like that knighthoods. Okay, and I still, Jeff and I, folks, have had this discussion before. I still just can't imagine Elton John getting his fat little rump into a suit of armor. To be hoisted onto a horse and given a lance and going out there to battle. I don't even think he could lift a broadsword.
He could lift any broad.
Nice, Jeff. He wouldn't even be interested in lifting one of those. But
no, that's what I meant. There was a cliche there. It seems to say the... what's happened with Harry and his other half, the Queen's basically taking their royal prerogatives away from them. She should do the same with him. How dare he talk about the country like that? She should do, if he wants to turn his back on the people of this nation and speak about us like that, then the Queen should re-unknight him, or whatever the word is. Take his knighthood away, Your Majesty. Get shot of it. He's an soul, madam. There you go, Dave. I've said my... if you're listening in, Your Majesty, you know, you've got to do what's right for the people. Your family's been in turmoil at the moment, and I think you don't need another drama queen, my dear. You do not need another drama queen. Get shot of him. There you go, Dave.
I think Elizabeth might possibly agree with you, but yeah, I mean, again,
she's probably having
looking
a little
out.
Oh, no, it's
exactly, but again, looking out, looking in, we have this same sort of thing with so many of our singing stars and whatnots over here in the United States. Oh, we hate.
They've
the
got
United
brain
States.
Cell amongst them, each. Have they got brain cell amongst them all?
Well, no, it's just. It's just a lack, as you said, Jeff, you pointed this out yourself, a lack of gratitude for the people that buy their music. You know, as with Elton John, it was for the people who bought his records, because that's what he put out when he first got famous, was records. And of course, nowadays it's all MP3s and things of that nature, but... yeah,
he's still making royalties on it, Dave. He's still making mega bucks, isn't he, bro?
Of course, yeah. Buying, you know, the people buying his music, going to his concerts when he has them, buying his merchandise. I think, I'm not sure that there wasn't a movie made about him recently. I don't know, you know, but at any rate, for him to turn his back on the people who have made the decision that they have and say the things that he has, I think just shows the height of ingratitude to a great
nation. Well, he's just a part of the Hollywood setup, Dave. That's where he wants to be. He wants to be there in the heart of Hollywoodos, just like himself. That's where he's planning to go. They'll guarantee, unless he's built the Epstein there, island or something or other, Dave. That possibly could be in his on his list. I wouldn't be surprised, Dave. Far from it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at anything the guy does, Jeff. But let's move on with the list here, because I know, you know, there's, I've been doing this wanting to do this for a while, because I know that there's one thing on this list that you're really going to agree with. But another thing that Dellingpole says we can do without in 2020 is George Soros, and I have to agree. and he says in here, do I really need
1 million, all the million, billions, whatever. I agree with what you just said, Dave. He is, if you think there's Satan out there, this guy is playing a big part to be like Satan. Am I correct, Dave? Or wrong? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and it's the kind of evil influence that we really don't need in this world. Now the next thing he puts in, Jeff, is what they call what he calls Care Bear commies, and his solution for them is: number one, cancel their allowance; number two, confiscate their iPhones, their computer, and their television; number three, torch their car; number four, barbecue their pet; number five, in extremis, but only in extremis, because this is actually banned under international law, along with biological and chemical weapons, and extreme forms of torture make them spend a year following the Twitter feed of left-wing activist Owen Jones until the Chinese water torture drip, drip, drip of the same old words and phrases: alt-right, Trump, racism, homophobia, demonizing Muslims, gammons, etc., drives them to the point of insanity. Now, that's his proposed solution. I mean, everything except you know, barbecue their pet or whatever, I have to agree with.
No, don't believe that, you know, as I say. You know, I love animals, and the animals, it's not their fault that people like themselves would invest in loving creatures who've got no, they've put no malice in them. That's a little bit extreme, Dave, to do anything against animals, because we are animal lovers, myself and Dave, and millions of us are across the globe.
Well, that's right, Jeff. And the next one that he's got on this list, and it's about time that they're well gone and heading out the door, is Ramoners. You have you?
Yes. Aren't you fed up with that title, Dave? Ramoners. Isn't it? It's so petty and sad, isn't it? Ramoners. It's just... something that's got me down. I want to say this, I was listening a little while ago onto, Joss's show. He was having all sorts of issues himself, Dave. Don't think it's just us. D-Live, they're having issues, or I know Joss was. Internet down, sort of thing. They were talking about, we was hoping there was money raised, I think nearly £1 million raised, for Big Ben to chime on our Brexit Day, the People's Day, Dave. Well, been declined for some unknown reason or not. That money's been raised to ring the bell, and it was put down. So that was something else,
Well,
it's probably down to these Ramoners. Don't want it to be, they've got their victory already. We don't want to ring bells across this country. Well, I'd say this, that anybody that can get over the bell, whatever, or if you've got, loose out of church, ring them bells, rejoice. It's our time. We fought hard and long to be where we are. Do not let them get any credence of what they do, because the Ramoners will always be the Ramoners. Their time is coming to an end. Time for us now. The people. We spoke in the ballot box. We said what we had to say. We didn't have, we took it to the streets. We was always just trying to keep the peace, even though, I'm talking about the EDL there, we was being attacked from left, right, centre, you name it. But we still held the line. And we still believed in what we believe with Brexit. You know, this is a great time for our nation to do what this country's always been good at. Making great deals with free agents across the world. Dave, I just wanted to say that. Oh, no, I've overshot the thing about, but I had to say that, brother.
Well, it's not a bad idea, Jeff, and I'll expand on it a bit. Look, guys, if you don't have bells, if you don't have some kind of a bell, it doesn't matter if it be a bicycle bell, it can be, I don't know, like a cowbell or one of those, hand bells like they used, a million years ago to call kids to school. Find, go on YouTube or wherever and find a sound effects MP3 of bells, okay? And put that on your phone. Especially if you can put it on your boombox. Get it in your car stereo system. And hey, midnight on the 31st, bang it out. Loud and proud. And,
Dave, ladies and gentlemen, this is why Mr. Milner, my dear friend, all of a sudden, he'll come out with something, and I'll just go, wow, what an idea. And you just done that right then, Dave. I salute you, brother. Well done.
I just hope people can, like the old song said, get it on, bang a gong, get it on, because it
ding
is
those dingers.
Yeah, exactly. Because
if you can't ring the bells,
be...
ring your... No, I was going to say something, but I'll refrain a little bit because it might be... It's a family show, isn't it? So, no, you mustn't ring your balls. I mean, there's other things you can ring. Well, it depends. Well, if it's so cold out there, you'd be able to ring whatever, can't you, Dave? You know what I mean?
Well, it depends on what neighborhood you're in and, it's been so cold lately. It's been so cold lately, Jeff. I'm not really sure anybody could even bring the brass monkeys out. You know what I'm saying?
I love it, man.
I'm going to read that. We've got two more in this list, and then we can say goodbye to this story. Well, three, actually. Okay. This
interesting,
next one here,
though. Different points have been absolutely fantastic, haven't they, Danny?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's stuff that we can do without. Now, the next one is the BBC. Yeah, we can do without the BBC in this year. Well, what do you think, Jeff?
I don't want to swear. It's Sunday, Dave. The Byers BBC. It needs to be done. It needs to be gone. It needs to be gone. And I don't know, Dave. We talked about this for years, haven't we? You know, the way that they've always been. They've always been against. You know, they're rather uppercut chappies, aren't they? You know, and we, people like myself, we're the underlings, don't you know? Yeah, that's what they've always looked down at us, you know, and, treat us with contempt like they always have done. And they always probably will do, though, one way or the other. They might end up gone, but you know that there's always going to be that class that will be talking down their noses about people like us, working class chappies, don't you know, who they absolutely deplore. That's where it comes, deplorables. We are the deplorables, aren't we? I'm an adorable and deplorable, to be honest with you, Dave. You're Dave.
Well, yeah, you're just like a little, like a little koala, Jeff, you know.
Very good.
We're going to have another story based on that maybe later on in the show. It depends if we get to it. Now, the next to last thing that he gets to on this, okay, and his explanation for it is see George Soros. What we can do without, happily in 2020, is the squad. Democrat Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He did write that. Alexandria Occasional Cortez. Oh, no, Cortex. Oh, my God. He totally did
Cortex,
this. Okay.
Yeah.
Alexandria Occasional Dash Cortex. And Rashida.
I like that, Dave. Woo.
yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad. Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley. And Jeff, if you don't mind, as the American, I'll take first one on this one. Yeah, we can definitely do without them. And hopefully, Lord willing, in November, they'll still be around, but they won't be in power. So, guys, you know, out there, Americans, you know who to vote for. You've seen the results of what they've been doing since they took power in Congress. You've got a chance to resolve this in this November. Jeff?
Well, yeah, I'm in total agreement with you, Dave. I mean, anybody that thinks the way that the Democrats think are a bunch of Smurfs. I'm sorry to tell you guys, but you're Smurfs. When I see them walking down that corridor, I could hear the Smurf song in the background. Didn't you, Dave? When you see them, they look like a bunch of Smurfs. I thought, all they need is the costumes now, then they'd be doing the part. But, guys, can you believe, I mean, what they're trying to do, if they have their way and your president is deposed from his office, just think of any other president, don't matter who they be, don't forget that impeachment will be there to hit them. Don't forget there's always a comeback. No matter what you do, whatever happens, somewhere down the line, you're going to be put in front and you're going to have the same problems. So whatever happens, I would say, stand firm. Do not let them get their way. They are totally evil. The whole thing is evil. And just fight the good fight. That's all I tell you, brothers and sisters. You know, and I know things are hard out there, but you've got to fight the good fight. Never, ever surrender. Don't forget their words. Never surrender to these people, because they are the evil. You're the good people. Fight the good fight. In God we trust. There you go, Dave. I'll leave you that.
All right. Well, Jeff, now the final one in here, even though it's not the final one, but it's one that I know you'll have a lot to agree with. And it's one that frankly makes me sick because of the example that he uses. The final one here is excuses for Muslim terrorism. Now, I like that he says Muslim terrorism, but he will cite a case here that we've been following ever since it occurred. And, well, I'll just go ahead and read this out, okay? Mental illness used to be the favorite excuse, timelessly trotted out by the failing MSN after each new terrorist incident. But in 2019, a French judge took disingenuousness to new extremes in the case of an African immigrant, I'm not going to say the a-hole's name, who murdered his Jewish neighbor. Though he recited verses from the Quran and yelled Allahu Akbar as he stabbed elderly Jewish woman Sarah Halimi. That's who it's about, Sarah Halimi. Before throwing her three floors to her death, the judge ruled that he had no criminal case to answer because he had smoked marijuana beforehand. The weed, yeah, that'll be it. Funny, though, isn't it how it only makes you a psychopathic killer if you belong to one particular religion? So, yes, we can do without excuses for Muslim terrorism. Sarah Halimi's murder will go unpunished, and this Mohammedan will walk free. That's justice after all of these years. Jeff, this makes me sick, man.
It makes me sick, but, you know, the thing about it is these judges who make this judgment, this call, you know, they might not be judged here on earth, but they will be judged. They will be judged. You know, don't think that they won't be. And the person that done this absolutely horrific crime to this elderly lady, well, his punishment is eternal burning. I hope you don't wish this on anybody, but with doing that to an elderly lady, a defensive lady, I'm sorry, I have no mercy for people like that, Dave. And most of the people, our great listeners, I'm sure you would agree, and I'm sure a few of you would disagree with me, but I show no mercy to people like this. These are despicable. These are despicable evil that walks this planet. Unfortunately, there's other evil people that facilitate them, and you'd see by that judge, he facilitated. What happens? He walked free, did he, from this case, Dave? Walked free, did he?
As far as I know, Jeff, now, that there may be some charge for the marijuana, though I doubt it. The guy had been imprisoned, jailed, whatever, for the amount of time that this case has gone on, because it's gone on for a few years, okay? But as far as I can tell, he's going to just walk on this one. He's just going to walk on a murder. This is how, by the way, dovetails very well into the show's theme. This is political correctness gone mad. Okay, this kind of murder, I guarantee if this had been a Christian who had killed a Mohammedan woman, citing verses from the Bible and shouting, Jesus saves, get ready to go to Jesus, if that had been the case, this man would have been put under the prison years ago. There wouldn't have been any of this prevarication or anything. And yet, because this individual, this a-hole, was a Mohammedan, he was allowed to literally get away with murder. And that, really, Jeff, is, again, the monster of political correctness, my friend. Now, if you don't mind, Jeff, and I know you've got about 5 minutes before you need to call back in, but why don't we go ahead and move on?
I think my clock's wrong, Dave, actually. It could be, because I'm on another computer. It's just, it thinks it's slightly off of it, so it's showing On my clock, it's showing 21:15 here, Dave. But the show is, I've got 43 minutes left of it. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to move on, because the main thrust of this show is about political correctness and how it's just become a monster. I thought about this because, a lot of people have seen the Frankenstein movies, the Hollywood version of Frankenstein movies. Not a whole lot of people have read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, what she wrote in 1816. No, guys, not 1818, 1816. Look it up. She wrote that during the famous Year Without a Summer. In fact, that's part of the reason why the original story was written. Okay? Because she and the poet Shelley and some other author were kind of sitting around a Swiss chalet or whatever. They couldn't go tromping around outside in the mountains because it was too cold and rainy, so they all decided to write a ghost story. And hers won. And the poet Shelley just kept bugging her and bugging her and bugging her until 2 years later, the story Frankenstein or the Modern Prometheus was produced. Now, was published.
Wow, I didn't know that, Doug.
Yeah. And basically, anyone who's read the books knows what the story's about. It's about a man who creates a creature using alchemy. All that stuff, guys, in the movies with electricity and all that stuff, forget that. If you read it in the book, it's more about like alchemy and chemicals and stuff like that than electricity. In fact, electricity isn't even mentioned as far as I know. But the creature is created, and it's big and strong, and it becomes angry because people don't accept it, and then it gets out of Dr. Frankenstein's control. So the creature is not called Frankenstein. It's called the creature. Frankenstein is the man who created the creature. And the creature gets out of Dr. Frankenstein's control, and eventually it kills him. Okay? And that is what's happened with political correctness today. It started out, and Jeff, I know you'll remember this. It started out as people just saying to each other, you know what? Yeah, this stuff of disrespecting each other because of skin color and things like that is pretty much a bunch of nonsense. And we shouldn't do it. And that's what it started out with. It started out with people trying to get other people to agree mutually to respect each other. And that was all right. But because the left wanted power, they grabbed onto that. And they've turned it into this horrible thing that it is now, where if you put a foot wrong, even if you're on the left, you're going to get nailed. And we have two examples of the culture that we've created now. And one of them, Jeff, is this thing that I want to play. All right? And if you want to call back in beforehand...
Yeah, I will do, Dave.
Do that.
Thank
go ahead
you,
and call back in. Yeah, go ahead and call back in, and then I'll play this once you get back in. Go ahead and call back in.
Okay, bro.
Yeah. Now, guys, this also is from last year, but I think it's very important for you to hear, because... And we have mentioned this as well in the previous show. The beast of political correctness has gotten so bad that even famous lefties have had to spend days, weeks, months walking back and just getting into groveling apologies because of simple things that they have said. I cannot remember the name of the tennis professional who was all into the LGBTQRXE=MC² community and advocating for it and everything, who basically said that she was concerned for girls and women's sports because of the... of the invasion of the trannies, basically. I think it was Martina Navratilova. I could be wrong there. And they flayed her alive. This woman that previously had been a part of the gay mafia, practically. Well, this isn't the only one that this happened to. Jeff, if you're ready, I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is from Paul Watson. This he did this on the 20th of last year, so we just missed this one. But this one is 7.5 minutes long. You ready for this?
Okay, thank you, Phil.
All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here you go. This is Paul Watson.
You know what's funny about J.K. Rowling getting cancelled by the very same woke outrage mob that she helped create? Everything! But what hateful, bigoted invective did Rowling spew to warrant the spiteful, vindictive hatred of thousands of woke haram jihadists? She suggested, wait for it, that biological sex is a real thing.
Here we go again.
That's right. J.K. Rowling was cancelled because she defended a woman who was fired for saying, quote, men cannot change into women. Maya Forstater lost her job at the Center for Global Development, a think tank that campaigns against inequality, for a tweet that was over a year old, which stated the following. What I am so surprised at is that smart people I admire, who are absolutely pro-science in other areas and champion human rights and women's rights, are tying themselves in knots to avoid saying the truth that men cannot change into women because that might hurt men's feelings. Here's a photograph of the self-described trans woman, SNP Councillor Gregor Murray, that Forstater was talking about. This is her Twitter profile.
Bruh.
Murray was previously suspended by his party for abusing a woman on Twitter by calling her the C word. Forstater also said that expanding the legal definition of women so that it includes biological males will undermine women's rights and protections. And that, quote, women and girls lose out on privacy, safety, and fairness if males are allowed into changing rooms, dormitories, prisons, and sports teams. Sounds reasonable, right? No, a feminist charity worker who campaigned for women's rights is now out of a job because she said that this person is not a woman. Let that sink in. It's now legal precedent in the UK that employees can be fired for asserting there are only two biological sexes. Maybe the NHS needs a purge of all their so-called medical professionals. Let's be clear. This wasn't about gender. This wasn't about, quote, non-binary people being able to identify as infinite different gender identities. This wasn't about intersex people being born with a mix of male and female genitalia, or with a combination of both XX and XY chromosomes. This was about biological sex, saying that a person born with XY chromosomes is a man, and a person born with XX chromosomes is a woman, and that that's a scientific fact. That's the premise that J.K. Rowling was merely suggesting that she believed. She wasn't saying that trans people can call themselves women or identify as women. She was saying that someone born with XY chromosomes is a biological male, and that that's immutable. That's it! Rowling threw her support behind Forstater by tweeting, dress however you please, call yourself whatever you like, sleep with any consenting adult who'll have you, live your best life in peace and security, but force women out of their jobs for stating that sex is real.
Hello, based in Redfield department?
No. This was a disgusting transphobic attack on an oppressed community, and boy did they let her know about it.
Denying the existence of trans women is an act of violence. Denying their right to claim their womanhood is an act of violence. Over the past couple of years, J.K. Rowling has used her massive platform and influence almost exclusively to destroy the UK left and ruin the lives of trans people. The best part of the Harry Potter fan community is that we read so much queer shit into J.K. Rowling's books, despite her being a disappointing failure of a human who is probably horrified. We all knew you were transphobic. Thanks for finally coming right out to own it. Impressive that J.K. Rowling has managed to completely incinerate all of the goodwill she accrued from creating the most successful youth fantasy series of all time in just under a decade. Anything is possible, folks, if you just keep tweeting. Going full turf, I see. At least you finally took off that mask for all to see. As a gay man that found safety in Hogwarts throughout my childhood, knowing that trans people wouldn't be able to have that safety breaks my heart.
Hogwarts is not real. The head of LGBTQ rights organisation GLAAD said Rowling's tweet, quote, puts trans people at risk.
Did J.K. Rowling just destroy the legacy of Harry Potter with a single transphobic tweet?
J.K. Rowling, retire, bitch.
J.K. Rowling, I don't think a woman should have lost her job for talking about sex and gender issues. The radical trans cult. Burn the witch! Burn her! What makes this even more hilarious is that it's not just the progressive far left eating one of their own. They're cannibalizing a woke icon. Some of you may remember back in the day, JK and I had a few battles, mainly over Rowling's virtue signaling about the West taking in refugees, while she personally took in precisely zero, despite owning several mansions, one of which had 18 spare bedrooms. This escalated to the point where Rowling passive-aggressively retweeted a satirical fake news story obviously meant to be about me. So do I really care that the ideological monster that she once fed is now devouring her?
No.
At every point, Rowling tried to ingratiate herself with Woko Haram, to the extent where she felt the need to pander to LGBT by suddenly announcing she always thought Dumbledore was gay, even to the extent where she retroactively made the Hermione character black, despite the fact that her own books literally said she had, quote, a white face. Yas, you go, girl, slay! No, there'll be no more slaying for J.K. Rowling. She's done. By the time you watch this video, she'll probably have been forced into a groveling, apologetic walk back. She's already declined the offer of being re-educated. Bad move. What now for J.K. Rowling? What now for the woke princess whose crown has slipped? What now for punished turf? Maybe it's time for a good old-fashioned book burning. What could be more progressive? Maybe it's not sufficient for men to use the legal system to force women to hold certain opinions. Maybe that's not feminist enough. Maybe the only way we can stop transphobia is by removing cis women's right to vote. Maybe the only person who can offer the Harry Potter author any kind of redemption is Jessica Yaniv. Time to wax them balls, bigot. There are more than two genders. Question, if there are more than two genders, why is there only two fits, men and women? Mind your own business! Here's another question. Should we sympathize with J.K. Rowling, or simply laugh in her face? Definitely the latter. This is what happens when you hand a radical vocal minority the power to dictate biological science. This is what happens when you hand a feverish mob the power to destroy people's careers for having a different opinion. This is what happens when you hand far-left progressives the power to cannibalize and control language. This is what happens when you place your legacy in the hands of people who will gleefully throw you under a bus merely to appear more virtuous than you on social media. J.K. Rowling, you made the bed. Now it's time to lie in it. It's absolutely crucial for you to help me fight the war on free speech by supporting me via Subscribestar, link in description, and also signing up for my free newsletter at summit.news/newsletter.
And welcome back to the Infinity Radio Show. The host is Jeff Spider Mitchell. Jeff.
There you go. See, the same old story. Cannibalism. They're eating one another now. She was so, so left. She wanted to go along with this left thing, and she makes as normal people would do, but in the world of crazy weirdos, it was wrong. She is basically being thrown under the bus by the weirdos out there. I mean, you know, Dave, this is such a strange world we live. I've always been a type of person, I know you're the same, live and let live, whatever. If people do it within their own sanctuary, their own home, this, that, and that, that's the way I've always thought, and probably like the most of us do. But, you know, talk about pushing it to the limits. So actually, the corrupt evilness that's going on, I would never have dreamed that it could descend into something as bad as this. So, you know, the political, as you say, with political correctness, which we've been talking about for many, many years, it's the destroyer of nations, great nations, are falling by political correctness. And I've said this for year after year. Time to get rid of this political correctness. One way or another, throw it in the bins of history and burn it. You know, because this, the future depends on political correctness being actually got rid of forever. Honestly, Dave, that's the way I look at it. We're just going down a really, really dark tunnel with all this. This is just, it gets worse. And I can't see any light at the end of the tunnel at the moment. Some common sense needs to prevail here on a big time. I don't know what needs to be done. We're a radio show talking about these issues. But ladies and gentlemen out there, your thoughts about this political correctness gone crazy. You enjoy living in a society where political correctness rules? You're scared to open your mouth in case you've upset somebody who's walking past you and you said something, you know, which was quite innocent, and before you know it, you got the witch court patrol on your back. You know, and prosecutions, there's policemen standing at your door because you said something. Said to someone, have a gay day. And they screamed, said, have a gay day before you know it. And that was Amy, that's what happened to Amy. She was arrested for saying, have a gay day to some guy. See, this is it, it's gone mad. And I don't know where it's going to end up, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I like good old common sense. I know you do. Anybody that's listening to this show, if you're like me, you're like Dave, we like common sense. And what we've been talking about tonight, I mean, it's descending into, well, I don't know, Dave. I'm passing it to you, Dave. What's this descending into, mate? Where's this going to go?
Well, it's going to go to what the left wants, their rulers anyway want, which is the power of life and death, the power to micromanage everyone's lives from cradle to grave. This is all part of it. It's all part of it. If they can decide what you can and what you can't say, then basically we're living in a time like that of the Reign of Terror after the French Revolution. If you read your history, you'll know that during that time, out in public, people were expected to proclaim loudly how wonderful the French Republic was and how much they supported it. And I don't mean they just had to say it. They had to say it loud. And there were people hanging around to make sure that they did that. And if they didn't, satisfy these people, You know, they were for the guillotine. Yes, sir. And that, yeah. Particularly...
You sum this up so well that maybe we would descend into that. I hope not. I want to say, like so I've said many times, I believe that we've got to rage against the dying light or something like that. I believe that it's the only way for common sense to prevail. It's the rage against the dying light. You know, and it's a famous, someone said it, but I've often used it over the years. And this show tonight has really brought it home to me. When sitting here thinking about certain things we've been discussing tonight, Dave, it's really brought it home to me how devastating political correctness has become for us all. We're all feeling it, aren't we, Dave? All of us, every single one of us.
Well, to finish the point that I was making, all right, just as in the French Revolution, if you said the wrong thing or didn't say the right thing, you were for the guillotine. Well, today, if you say the wrong thing, according to the leftist monitors, little sycophants of the lefty rulers, you're for the guillotine professionally and socially. And we've seen this. We saw this in... with that young gentleman who was fired from his job working in a bank. That was featured on Tommy Robinson's Pen on Drama. We've seen this with people being mass banned from Facebook because they told the truth about Islam. We saw it was pointed out by Paul Watson, that lady being fired from her job because She dared to defend normal, quote unquote, normal sexuality. Okay, so this is happening now, and it's not a good place for us to be. It is a way to break down our society and put only one group of people in power. And Jeff, we're going to go ahead now and go to the next story that kind of binds this together. Okay,
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, now this happened on Question Time, Jeff. Now Question Time, well, Jeff, first of all, can you let people know what Question Time is who aren't familiar with it?
Well, it's a political program, and they normally have an audience, which is basically, most of the time, a load of bunch of lefties who's been bussed into it to make, you know, their comments about the speakers there. You know, you've got politicians, who maybe three or four, maybe five politicians are sitting there, and then people, that's a question time for the people, and it's normally, you know, the questions have already been sorted out. Occasionally you get some people that totally break the chain and actually go rogue and ask, you know, the right questions, the questions that people like themselves would like to hear. That's why myself and many others don't listen to Question Time, because it's just very, very rare, unless we get an heads up that something's going to go down. But yeah, there you go, Dave. I think it's a political show, let's call it. It's a BBC political show. Just for you guys.
Yeah. Well, it sounds a lot to me like a BBC quote unquote reality show where everything is micromanaged to make the left look good and make the right look bad. Now, what I'm going to read you out of, guys, is a story from the Daily Mail, and it's by Martin Robinson, chief reporter, and by Mark Duell. Okay, and this here was updated on the 17th, okay, a couple of days ago. Now, this has to do, and Americans, don't turn this off, because this, again, has to do with political correctness and all of this race pimping that goes on. You know that it goes on in the United States. I mean, with people like Al Sharpton, or as Lonnie Poindexter calls him, Al Charlatan, and people of that nature. Well, you don't have to be someone like that to be a race pimp, and this kind of proves it. This one here, I'm going to read this headline, Jeff. Having the best day of my life, drinking all these leftist tears. Actor Lawrence Fox taunts trolls after he was branded, get this, guys, a, quote, white privileged male, end quote, during a Meghan Markle racism row on Question Time. All right, I'm going to read the bullet points here for you, Jeff. All right, number one, Mr. Fox quoted Martin Luther King's speech as, quote, the position I took last night, end quote. Next bullet point, Question Time row was with a race and ethnicity lecturer, Rachel Boyle. Now, guys, if you look at the show page at blogtalkradio.com, what you will see will be her picture, Rachel Boyle's picture in there, with the label that I put on it, race pimp. Okay, and I'll get to that in a bit, okay, because that's what she is. The next bullet point. She said that Meghan had been, quote, torn to shreds, end quote, in Britain since marrying Harry. The next bullet point, quote, let's call it by its name. It's racism. She's a black woman, end quote, she told QT audience. And next bullet point, actor said, quote, it's not racism, quote, and Ms. Boyle blasted him as, quote, white privileged male, end quote. Now, the last bullet point. Lawrence rolled his eyes, looked to the heavens, and exclaimed, oh my God, end quote. Okay, so Jeff, your feelings so far here?
My feelings so far is that I'm sure Meghan thought when she married into the royal family that it was going to be one of these reality show things. Didn't quite understand that. No, I think it was just the better of her career. I mean, she'd go back to, she's going to do a Disney thing, and she's in voiceovers and this, that, and the other. So she's just bettered her career, and poor Harry. She'll have enough of him and she'll be done with him probably, and he goes wagging his tail back to the Wall family. She's just using him. That's just not. But that woman who said that to this guy, totally feministic. I don't know these people. All of a sudden they come out of woodwork, don't they? The feminists. All of a sudden they rise to the surface. We don't see it with all the things that's been going on across the country. Now and again they'll come and show themselves and quickly scuttle away like a cockroach and hide under a stone somewhere till their time comes again for them. Yeah, that's that. That's it, Dave. I think I summed it up quite fair and balanced, Dave.
Well, all I can say, Jeff, is first of all, this Rachel Boyle individual, all right, said that Meghan Markle is a black woman. Now, I'm not sure of that. Okay, now maybe she has African blood in. I don't know, but I do know one thing. I have been working with you for 7 years, and even though I don't follow the royals, because as an American, I'm really not interested in that, the only thing that I've seen as far as press coverage of her goes, of Markle goes, has been the same kind of fawning stuff I see that they do for everybody else. So this notion that somehow she's been raped over the coals and treated terribly by the press and everyone in the UK ever since she married Harry, I think is BS. Then there's the other aspect of it. This is a woman that has been allowed to jet around the world, and from what you tell me, this is where the trouble began, wherever she wants, and to basically do whatever she wants on the taxpayer's dime, or the taxpayer's tenpence, I guess you'd say. All right? And Queen Elizabeth had a problem with that, and part of the reason Americans that she had a problem with it is because a few years ago the people of the United Kingdom began to question whether or not the royals' high roller lifestyle was really worth all the taxpayer money. Okay, so the royal family decided to slim down a little bit. Only problem is that Meghan Markle didn't want to slim down. Okay, now, as far as this Rachel Boyle individual goes, she said on Twitter, "Oh, I never once called that actor a racist." No, she didn't. What she did do, though, was to say that he was a, you know, quote unquote, a privileged white male.
Well,
that is racist.
She's using racist remarks against white people. As far as I'm concerned, if you use a white privilege, as far as I'm concerned, the white people that say that are racist. They're making rape about the colour of people's skin. Dave, we've been fighting about this for years, haven't we? And they're doing it quite openly. White privilege. White privilege. That is, as far as I'm concerned, the most racist comment I hear out there now. Dave?
Well, yeah, it is, Jeff, and the fact is that there is no group, large group of people that is more under attack now than white men, especially white Christian men. Now, this woman, I don't know what her race is. I'm looking at her picture, and again, I'm the unpleasant blind guy, so maybe I'm not catching something, okay? But I am catching one thing. Okay, she's a quote-unquote lecturer in quote-unquote racial ethnicity. Now, to me, that means that she is paid by a university at least part of the time to lecture people on racial ethnicity. Now, that to me spells two words: race, pimp. A pimp makes money off of his stable of girls, and this woman makes her money off of racial divisiveness. And that is why she was at Question Time. That is why she said what she did. That's what she makes at least part of her living off of. That is why
Rachel Boyle... Race baiting, isn't it, Dave? It's old-fashioned, what we used to call years ago as race baiting. Exactly. Except she she's the privileged one. They'll be able to get away with making these slanderous remarks to a gentleman who's sitting there listening to questions. I mean, that's disgusting. Disgusting.
Yes, and if I may finish, Jeff, as I was about to say, this all makes her a race pimp. Now, I doubt that she's going to have the courage to call into this program, especially since the call-in number doesn't work, to try and challenge it. And frankly, I could care less that she doesn't, because this kind of thing, guys, is something that we should speak against. Nobody of any race should feel better than or less than anybody of another race. That's what we were taught from childhood. Okay, and that's the way it should be. This woman evidently does not believe that. And if she doesn't, then that's her own fault. That's her own, you know, issue. And she needs to seek professional help. But yes, she is a race pimp. And this sort of thing does need to stop, Jeff, because it's all part of the political correctness that is destroying our societies.
Dave, I agree everything you just said there. That is so, so right. And this is the issue. It must stop. But there's got to be people out there that wants to make it stop. One way or other, laws have got to be changed to stop this progressing into, I don't know, totally madness, isn't it, Dave? We go down that really horrible path. Be no peace in our modern times with people like that. On the question time, who makes these comments, they need to be shut up. One way or the other, and I don't mean, you know, violently, but I mean maybe politically shut up. I don't know. I don't know. That's a question for you to maybe ponder over. How do we deal with this that's going on in our societies? And this just as in the UK, this is across the globe. We're getting... Everybody has got problems with political correctness, and it's got to be dealt with. That's what Dave says. It must be dealt with, but how do we deal with it? We're just the voices, how we think it's got to be answered some way or the other. But I just can't think, you know, on top of my head, how we go about it, because it's so intense, isn't it, Dave? Where do you start? Schools, the education system, that's the first start, isn't it? Somewhere along the lines.
Well, but certainly, Jeff, now Kenneth McClinton pointed out something that we were talking about race issues and things of that nature in the chat on his program, The Exceptional Conservative Show, where will be able to hear me possibly Thursday night at 10:20 p.m. Eastern time on the Exceptional Conservative Network, okay? And we were talking about this issue, okay? And he pointed out, Ken McClinton pointed out, that Booker T. Washington, who took over from Frederick Douglass as far as being a leading light in the African-American or black community in the United States, pointed out himself that there were people even back then who made their living out of stirring up trouble among the races. And this is going on both sides of the pond. And I think the only way that we can do this is to recognize each other as brothers and sisters and get together, stop looking at each other as labels, and start to find things that we can get together on, and to stop listening to people.
Well, we're all part of the human race, Dave. I'm sorry to interrupt. This is all part of the human race. We are all a part of the human race. Got to come together, stop these petty things that's causing absolute chaos within our societies, as we've been talking about most of the night tonight. Dave, continue. Sorry, brother. I just wanted to say that. We all are part of human rights, aren't we, brother?
Well, you didn't have long to wait, Jeff, because all I was going to say, I was going to end up with, and stop listening to the people who want us to hate other people. No, racism is not inbuilt into white people's DNA. The quote-unquote professor that said that needs to lose her standing in academia. But that said, Jeff, it's about time for the end of the show. Just want to give people a little bit of a show note. We will not be here for the Thursday program. Both Jeff and I have doctor's appointments, so we won't be here. Yes. There will be an archived version of the English Fence League radio show for you guys to listen to Thursday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. in the United States. So do tune in for that. It'll be it should be a good one, and we will be back. Well, Jeff, you know we'll be back. I just want to say to everybody, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, and 12 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K., Monday through Friday, and 5 a.m. in the U.K. on Saturday. And I want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, Brexiteers, it's almost time, guys, to the people of Iran, who we talked about last time, and to all freedom fighters around the world, be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender. Jeff, back to you, man.
Yeah, no surrender ever. Thanks, Dave, for your final thoughts for this evening, and I hope you'll be joining me this Sunday. I hope the issues get rectified, and this problem with calling number, I'm not really happy about that either. So I'll be thinking long and hard about the situation. I might end up moving everything over and going on D-Live or something like that. You listening, Blog Talk Radio? I might be leaving you. So, you know, that's it. I didn't want to do this, but you pushers and, people like myself will step away. And I'll find out base, and I'll take everybody that listens to this radio show with me and Dave, guaranteed. The show will go on. The show will continue. The EDL is here for now and here forever. No surrender ever. And with that, we're going to go, and we're going to go underground, don't we, Dave? And I'll probably come back with maybe a couple of minutes left to go. So here we go. This is our closing one, and I've got the lads who's lining up to come. Yeah, all right. It's ready for our phone. Anyway, they're ready to go, Dave, so let's play us out with Going Underground with our very own The Jam. Come on, lads, let's do it. Well, there you go. I think we've still got maybe a couple of minutes or so, Dave, and that makes the change, doesn't it? But West Ham have got to thank you, Dave, for the great show that you've put together, the scripting for tonight, and the slides, as usual, Dave, top notch there, brother. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, we come to the end of the show this evening. So, you know, it's been a high intensity show with the political correctness just crazy, and we've shared what's going on, and it puts the fear of God in people, doesn't it? Yeah, I've just been told I've got 90 seconds, so there you go. So anyway, I'd like to thank you all that's been listening in, whatever device is, and yes, from a few issues, but you know, it is what it is, and the show must go on no matter what. But we'll see you again. I'd say we'll have a special show coming up this Thursday, because myself and Dave, we both got a doctor's appointments. So, yeah, and I'll be turning around a few more things. So once again, we will see you, hopefully, and hopefully Dave will be with me as well. So we'll see. I hope and pray that those things sorted out. So with that, this is the English Defence League radio show. We're signing off for tonight. And we'll see you again this Sunday. No surrender ever. And please be vigilant out there, ladies and gentlemen. Please be vigilant. God bless you all. Take care. See you soon.